Well, as a family here this morning, we want to look into the Word of God and ask that you pray that the Lord will bless His Word today.
I'm well aware that I'm just another human like everyone else. I have my things that the Lord still needs to teach me. In fact, we all do. We want to look over into Romans this morning. Latter part of that book. Keep turning past it here. 14th chapter is where we want to be. I forgot my normal glasses this morning, so I've got these. I'm going to try to work. I was thinking I might try to title this morning. This is found in the 20th verse of the chapter. And this is the phrase that just actually spawned my thoughts. For meat, destroy not the work of God. You ever heard that term? For meat, destroy not the work of God. Well, we think about the book of Romans and the man who wrote it. The book of Romans was written by a man named Paul, born Saul of Tarsus. Possibly was, some have conjectured that possibly his father was maybe not a Jew, but I think probably his father was a Jew. But he was born a Roman citizen. By some mechanism. Well, it could have been that his father was a Roman citizen. When you study into it, there's a possibility that they had been part of the diaspora. You've heard that term, the diaspora, the dispersed people of the Jewish nation that had been dispersed among the nations. Some of them were Hellenistic Jews. You know what that term means, Hellenistic? Y'all. Greek influenced in the Grecian era of time. Alexander the Great, what, 300 and some years before Christ? Forget the time frame. There was a lot of territory that was Alexander the Great was a Grecian man and spread a lot of, and so through that influence then came Koine Greek. You've heard that term, haven't you? It's the style of Greek lettering that the Septuagint was written in. And so that was the time, this time frame is where Paul later on down here just during the time of Christ, that was the extant writing that they had to read. Now I know there were some Hebrew scrolls, but it was pretty common to have the Koine Greek Septuagint that they wrote. And Jesus quoted out of that. So that was something that they used. So Paul grew up and he was a very learned man. He knew Greek. He knew a lot of other languages also. He was trained perhaps at the feet of Gamaliel, he said. So there was a lot of, and that most of that learning was toward the Judaic law. That's what that training was. The feet of Gamaliel. So this was the one now who, on the road to Damascus, being a very zealous man for the Judaic law, he saw the Christian sect, as he saw it, this newfound Christian sect, this sect that came up that was different. It wasn't the Sadducees or the Pharisees or the Essenes. It wasn't any of those. It was something different. In fact, it was something that wasn't acknowledging the law as Paul thought they should be acknowledging the law in a more full way. And so he was very upset about that in persecuting the church. Stood by there and held the coats of those who were stoning Stephen after he preached to them. And then on the road to Damascus, headed there to also persecute unto death if he could. Some more of the church there in Damascus. On the road, the Lord struck him down. And Jesus spoke with him there. Changed him completely. His focus completely changed. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" There was a complete, "I know whatever I'm dealing with now is greater than all my presuppositions that are brought to the table now. This is something real, something different." And so the Lord started teaching him. He wasn't born full grown. He didn't know everything, but he started learning. And he hungered after what was right. So this man now, later on, in his walk with the Lord, and as he learned and grew and taught others, he was so convinced on that road to Damascus that Jesus was the Messiah. He called him Lord. And then from that experience, he went around straightway preaching Christ. Maybe not in the fullness that he did later on, but straightway he went around telling them that, "I know this is the Messiah. I know it. I had an experience. I know he's the Messiah. You can't take that from me. This was something special." And he was convincing people. His story was convincing. And then, after time, he went back to Tarsus, his hometown. And later on, Barnabas came and found him. So that period of time, I don't know how long it necessarily was, but in that period of time, when he's over there by himself, he didn't quit learning. He didn't quit serving the Lord. He still believed that Jesus was his Messiah. He believed that and was learning, and I believe the Scriptures began to become more open. In fact, later on he said, those things that he used to value, those things I counted loss, that I might win Christ, that I might experience the resurrection, that I might experience the fullness of Christ. And as he learned, well, we'll pick up here now in Romans. Romans is a book that he wrote, directed typically to the different house churches in Rome. They didn't have a chapel like this, folks. They had house churches. The first generation of churches, they hardly ever had what we call a chapel or a church building today. And so there was a number of areas around Rome in that vicinity that Paul wrote this book to, this letter to. And so earlier part, there's segments of the book of Romans that had a lot of theological point of view in. But his general focus of this to the Roman people there at the Roman church was he wanted them to see the value of Christ above the old law system. Call people to Christ. He had been called out of that, and now he proudly was glad that he counted those things lost that he might win Christ. So now in Romans, the 14th chapter, I'm jumping clear to the back of the book. And this chapter, it kind of starts a different feel than what some of the earlier part of the book letter had. But I'm going to pick up the latter part of the 13th. Latter few verses of the 13th chapter of Romans. 10th verse, perhaps we'll start there. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. He just pointed out. Love. Thou shalt love, the verse up above, maybe I should read that one too, the 9th. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Notice he's saying the same things that's also contained in the law. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended, it is briefly surrounded, it is expressed in this way, in this manner. Namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he states, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love won't let you do it. love will make us think good about each other. And even if something's wrong with my brother, it always wants to put the best on it and call the best out of each other. Isn't that what we should really do? You know, the gospel and the teachings of Jesus are just a fantastic teaching for humanity. Everywhere it's embraced, it has brought peace, it has brought betterment of humanity. Because love is the basis, is the bedrock of it. I care for you. Think about this for just a little bit with me. He just said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. If we truly loved each other with a righteous love. There's not a thing you own that you'd have to put under lock and key to keep me from stealing. Not a thing. Wouldn't have to worry about your wife. I wouldn't want to steal her either. Because we love. You see what I'm saying? It affects every area of our life. We value each other. We want the best for each other. So, in this statement, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. And that knowing the time, notice this. And that knowing the time that it is high time. Again, this is written in the context of the book of Brother Paul writing to the Roman church and telling them there were Jews there, there were Gentiles there, there was a mixture of people here. Telling them that love worketh no evil. We have a little bit of mixture here, but not as stark generally as what they did between the Gentiles and the Jews back then. We do have different characteristics. Look back there at Brother Ron Doolittle, and I remember... Sorry, Brother Ron. We were teenagers together. His family, I loved him. But we were different. We had certain differences. Not major. Some of us are... Brother Marshall, he was raised down in Alabama. Down in that region, down in the South. Well, I was raised up in Kansas. Some of those down in the South, when I've gotten down there, they always said, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, whether I was much there. And in Kansas, I may have responded, yeah. And quite frankly, I think Southern sounds better than what my response was. And over time, though I still have some of my different way of responding, I've gravitated toward more of that yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I don't say it a whole lot, really. But that courtesy, that's a good thing. And so we do affect each other. But yet we bring all our different... Brother Ephraim grew up in his childhood down in Mexico. Different characteristics. We have some, because we're farmers kind of together, so we got a lot of things in common that way. But we're different, and we bring that all together here in a congregation. And some of the things you see may be a little different than things that I understand or recognize. But here is our focal point. Love God with all our heart. And you know what that does? That always... Sister Connie in her prayer said something about, Lord, draw us nearer to you and nearer to each other, I think you said. You added that. And I thought when you said that, I said, it's going to automatically happen if we're all focal. Our focal point is following the Lord. Loving Him with all of our heart. We can't keep from drawing closer together in that environment. And folks, that's just the fulfillment of the whole law. That's it. Love God with all your heart. And it works yet today. This is a Christian experience. So, Brother Paul here, again, we'll get down here to the 14th chapter, I guess we'll need to hurry. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. We don't need to go back to that old system, that old Judaic law, that it's time to wake out of sleep. I'm not opposed at all for us to thinking today that now it's high time. Folks, if we're not serving the Lord with all of our heart, it's high time to wake up. It's high time. There's not a better time than now, and now is a good time. Yesterday would have been better. But now is a good time to awake to righteousness. Follow the Lord with all of our heart. That knowing the time, now it is high time to wake out of our sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. So Brother Paul was thinking about a time even coming up that we're going to meet the Lord. 12th verse. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The gospel day is here. Don't return back the other direction. But not only that, the time, we're quickly rushing. Just recently, Brother Mark Bennings was one of those that was younger than me and suddenly was taken out. Brother Ted was quite a bit older than me and went on to his reward. But it serves as a reminder and a bit of an inspiration or a bit of a goad, perhaps, in me saying, Lord, help me to live my life in such a way that would be effective for you, that when I lay my body down, people will realize that man loved the Lord. And we can influence each other in this way. It's high time. The night's far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, chambering or wantonness and in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this sounded differently perhaps back then than what it does today. Today, at least to me, I always took it on that today, let's put on, and yes, today, let's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Back then, it's a little different. Sounded when you're a Jew and you're here, and Paul is telling you to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That old system of the law, which God had blessed, still has the Ten Commandments in it. None of that went away. But there was a fulfillment that came in Christ. He said, put on Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. All those other works that is under the law. Love the Lord. That's a fulfillment of it. Don't fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, let's go ahead and start the 14th chapter. Him that is weak in the faith. Little change in the texture of focal point of what Brother Paul was writing about here. Him that is weak in the faith. Now, who is the weak in the faith? This is the one that hasn't learned the doctrine well or hasn't been able to get all the do's and don'ts lined up in our minds. And I'm not saying that God doesn't have some do's and don'ts. He does. He does, but He wants us to get to those do's and don'ts from a motivation in my heart of loving and loving God and wanting to be more like Him all the time. That gives strength. You know, if I wrote down to you all the letters of the law and had it written down, it would become something that I just imposed upon you. But when God calls it out of your life, and we do it because I care for Him and I love Him and I don't steal from you, not because the law said don't steal. I don't steal from you because I love you. You see the difference? There's one, motivations are totally different. And this is the perfect law of liberty, you see, when I love you with all my heart. It's not oppressive to it at all. So, him that is weak in the faith. I believe there at Rome, I know there were Jews there. Clearly tell by the earlier writings, even in Roman, in the book of Romans. Some of those Jews, they were accustomed. It was they grew up going through, one Sabbath day was important. You're supposed to rest on that Sabbath day. You're supposed to go to synagogue. Or the temple, if he was there by the temple. Rome wasn't close to the temple, but you should at least go to the synagogue. Did you know there's no place that I can find in the scripture that mandates the building of synagogues? You ever thought of that? Never thought of that. No place that the Lord said build synagogues. That was a custom. The Lord allowed and blessed. That's Moses' seat. That's where Moses, remember those that sat in Moses' seat? He wasn't talking about the temple. It was a synagogue that had the seat of Moses. That was a place where they went and read the law of Moses. Nothing wrong with it. It was good. God blessed it. So, in that system, Jews were taught and were zealous because of this was the law of Moses, and they followed it. And now came Jesus Christ. And Paul said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that was something different than the law of Moses. There's something more expanded. Because Jesus said, you have heard it said in the law from Moses' seed. You've heard it say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, Jesus had something different and greater that directed the law more toward the heart, under the fleshly tables of the heart, down in here instead of written on the stone. God wants to write His law in our hearts. And it's different. And it calls us away from just the old systems of the law of Moses. And he said, those who are weak in the faith. Now, those you Jewish people that are here and you've got Gentiles sitting beside you in the services and your conscience says, brother, I think I saw you having pork at your table. I walked by your house and it sure smelled like you were cooking pork. And that bothers me. And we're here sitting together. What do you think the Gentile that was raised without any of that at all had no conscience toward at all? He came and he may have just been enjoying serving the Lord. And he had a different set of things that the Lord was calling him out of and teaching him the gospel, the godly way of living. He had his own set. But the Jews, they had felt like, you know, we've got it. We've been trained well, our conscience. We recognize this is something we really shouldn't do at all. Eating pork and you know, the eighth day, there's a circumcision supposed to go on with. And all this is something we've got to do. The Sabbath day, we're sitting here and we're meeting on Sunday instead of the Sabbath. And I really believe that some of the first generation church still met perhaps on Saturday and Sunday. It was especially over in Jerusalem when you read about the history there. But anyway, those who are weak in the faith. So I want us to recognize what Paul is talking about, weak in the faith. It's not those who were just newly saved and really hadn't gotten the doctrine all settled right and the list of do's and don'ts. They hadn't figured all. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about those who were still being drawn back, wanting to put their trust in the old law system. That was the weakness he's talking about. That was where they felt like that was the righteousness, and their conscience had been trained. And I have a lot of sympathy toward those folks. I really do. But yet he said it's causing trouble. You're coming here and asserting because you had always been trained from a child up that you just don't do that. Don't cook pork. You don't fry catfish. Now, you can have you know what I'm saying. All the dietary laws of the old law system. You just don't do that. No, remember Peter? I've never done that, Lord. I did all these things that came down the sheet, And some of them were clean and some unclean. And the Lord said, eat it. Not me. Never done that before. It was hard for him. It was difficult.
You that are weak in the faith, receive ye. Him that are weak, that is weak in the faith, receive ye.
But not to doubtful disputations. Don't get over in that argumentative place where it causes doubt and dissension and troubles between yourselves. For one believes that he may eat all things. This Gentile over here, he did have it. He cooked pork all his life, and it doesn't bother him a bit. But he's come to Christ. He's living for the Lord. He's saying, as far as he knows how, he's given his heart and walking with the Lord. For one believes that he may eat all things, and another that is weak eats herbs. He can't take. He's afraid to eat anything else. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Brother Paul is making the claim here and the point that both of you, you come from different areas, you come from different ways of thinking, you were trained differently, morally you were trained differently as you grew up. And now you come under, you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And now, let the Lord teach you. Follow the gospel of love. Follow this impulse that takes away all these things that drive people apart. This isn't saying that there's not moral standards, because God does have moral standards for us. This isn't a place of license just to do whatever we choose to do. No, God has a law. God has holiness and righteousness that he calls us to. But all this doubtful disputation, the areas that had to do that wasn't necessary any longer. About the eating of things and the putting too much emphasis on the day of the week. For God hath received him. God, these other people the Lord has received, Brother Paul is saying. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Folks, when I hear this, when I think about us being a servant of the Lord, sometimes we get our security in thinking, well, the saints accept me. Brother Ivan says it's okay. Folks, I might okay something God doesn't okay in your life. You ever thought of that? You're not my servant. I'm not yours either. But I do want to be a servant of Christ. He's the one I need to hear and feel his direction and his law being brought down in my heart and confirmed with convictions that say, this is what the Lord wants me to do. And then I follow him because I love him. I enjoy living and hearing him, living with him and hearing him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. If he's eating pork, the Lord's able to make him stand. If he has conscience against doing something on the Sabbath day, it's okay. It's all right. The Lord will make him stand. Don't try to tear either one of them down. You see, one of the things that I believe the early church, because they were dealing with this sense of change. A Jew had to, it was hard. There's always this propensity that if your conscience had been trained not to eat pork, and Brother Peter was one of those, the Jewish brother, and they Brother James in Jerusalem, he was one of the greatest leaders of the early morning church there in Jerusalem, and he was very much still tied to his old Jewish ways. You study about Brother James, the Lord's brother there in James or in Jerusalem. But they were trained that way, and the this change. It seems like it is when you have been convinced that, oh, the Lord doesn't require that of me anymore. You know, there's another danger. Heard somebody say recently that every mile of road has 2 miles of ditch. The one is not a good ditch to live in, and neither is the other. Go down the middle where God is. Find that road. Find that safe place where the Lord is. So there's always this propensity whenever the Lord is changing you or me, where the Lord is convincing us of where His balance of life is. There's always this propensity to, well, if this isn't what the Lord is requiring of me, well, then the devil would like to push, grab a hold on this side, and it goes shoving until we get imbalanced on the other side. And I want to warn us as we go through life, understand those forces. Both of those ditches, whether it be fanaticism or compromise, both of those are rooted in carnality. Both of them are. They're inspired by the human carnal passions. They're driven by human carnality. Understand that. But there is a place of walking in righteous acceptance before God that is so right and is so balanced and is so true. And I can't tell you from the angle you're coming, we're all coming into this way of righteousness. We're walking along with the Lord. And as I focus toward Him, I'm kind of like Sister Connie said, draw us near to You, Lord, and near to each other. And as I'm coming in from my angle, and You're coming in from Your angle, and we continue to allow the Lord fashion us into His image, that Christ may be formed in us, that we put on Christ. When we're doing that, folks, we're going to automatically draw nearer to each other. And our ability to support one another will only grow. And the light that shines, that emanates from this congregation will be brighter. We'll be able to go out of these doors and work together better. It's only through this avenue. It's not through me coming up with a set of regulations that we're going to have to follow when we go out these doors. No. I want to tell you, this is what I tell you. Follow the Lord with all your heart. Don't let the devil have part of it at all. I know I'm going to wear out that phrase. Probably already have in many minds. But I want to tell you that is the basis. That's why I'm going to keep saying it. We've got to love the Lord with all of our heart. We can't let ourselves be the focus. We've got to let God be the focus. All right, let's go back to the Word. One man esteems one day above another, fifth verse. Another esteemeth every day like. Brother Paul is writing this to the churches at Rome, knowing that within that structure, the Jews and the Gentiles all meeting together and worshiping Christ, worshiping the Lord in this setting, that they all had their different ideas, and that naturally brought some conflict. And he's telling them, brethren, this is going on and this is going on, and you're coming together and you're worshiping the Lord together. Don't let that judge. Don't judge each other. You give space for the Lord to work in each other's life. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. Jew said, we're going to have to, no, don't do any work on Saturday. That's our day of rest. That's the Sabbath. Okay, let's go back to that. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Be careful. Now, a Gentile may have said, well, brother, Saturday's the best day for me to get some work done. Sunday, I'll meet with you in services. Well, That's our day of rest.
Oh, but I was... No, I just can't.
The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And Paul said to the brethren that didn't have any conscience towards that, he said, you be careful. Don't go there and say, oh, brother, you're just weak in the faith. I've got better light than you. Don't do that. You love him enough that if it bothers him for you to work next door to him all day Saturday, you be careful how you handle that. You see what he's saying? For meat. Now, it might be fried catfish too. That might be the pulled pork sandwich you have. I'm just saying, Brother Paul is making the point. When you come together, there are things that's a lot more important than whether you're eating pork or not. And in Christ, I believe, by every indication I can tell, that Brother Paul found a freedom in Christ, a freedom that he would have directed toward the old law system. But they also would have found he called himself a servant of Christ, didn't he? And there was a place of service to the Lord that he was bound by, happily bound by. This bondage of love sets us perfectly free. So, but there was a freedom. Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you to take you back into that? You had once escaped and you're going back. Don't do that. So he would teach the freedom that there was in Christ, but also teach love and care for a fellow man and give space that the Lord might work with us and draw us all. We come in, focus our hearts on the Lord and be drawn ever closer, not only to the Lord, but to each other through this process. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. It doesn't make any difference to him. He wasn't trained, but to these others, their conscience were trained to keep this day holy. And Brother Paul said, just they're doing as that unto the Lord. Their conscience and all they know how to, they're obeying the Lord in this. Don't you judge that fellow man. He that eateth unto the Lord, he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Again, he shows two sides of the same issue. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dies to himself. All of us stand before God. For whether we live unto the Lord. Or whether we die unto the Lord. It's we meet God. God is our end. We're going through life, and we're doing the with the honesty of our heart and hungering after His righteous way, and we with our sometimes inabilities to understand things very well. I thought of this different times, and yesterday I recounted it again when my sister was driving back. I am comforted when I hear Jesus look at His disciples who walked with Him, and He said, I yet have many things that I want to say to you. Remember that? What did He say right after that? You're not able to bear it. I'm saddened that I'm not able to bear it sometimes. But I'm also comforted to know that the Lord knows where we are. Today He knows where every one of us are. He also knows if you love Him or not. I believe the disciples loved Him, but there were things they were incapable of grasping at that moment. And Jesus said, I've got many things I want to share with you, but where you are right now, I can't, you're not able to bear. So the Lord knows where we are and He knows exactly how much to require of us. What we all must give Him is all of our heart. All of it. And every one of us can give Him all of our heart. It might be incomplete knowledge that I have, that I bring to Him. But I can still give Him all my heart. All I know how to give, I give it to Him. And in this process then of me loving the Lord with all my heart, the Lord, step by step, I look back over my life and I have to say there are some things that I thought I knew when I was younger. And sometimes yet in recent years I've read a scripture and thought, I think that means differently than what I've always thought it meant. Or maybe see a fresh perspective of it and think, Lord, I could have been wrong. And the Lord, sometimes I hear Him, I sit there beside me, He said, yeah, so you had that wrong. Well, why didn't you tell me you weren't able to bear it, son? You just didn't have it till now. And that lets me know that we have a God who knows who we are and where we are, and He loves us. He loves us enough to still lead us in His way of righteousness. Okay. Turn the page tonight. For whether we live in the Lord. Whether we die in the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or whether we die, the Lord, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died, rose, revived, that He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? He put this right to the people. He's writing this to. Why do you judge your brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand. Your brother's going to stand and you're going to stand. We're going to go and we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow before me. The Gentile will. Everyone will. The Jew will. In Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile anyway. We're all part of the body. We come into Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I can almost see that Jew, he died believing, feeling very strongly that, oh, he may have been praying, Lord, help my brother to see that he's not supposed to work on Saturday. Lord, open up his eyes, help him to see. Had a good spirit about him. And he died. Went up there. And before the Lord, the Lord said, come on in. You're my child. He may say, Lord, why didn't you tell? I've been asking to tell them that. And the Lord said, brother, son, that other's my son too. I love him too. And I really didn't require you to not work on Saturday. I wanted your heart to rest in me. Is that what you meant, Lord? Yes, that's what I meant. Well, I know there's no tears in heaven. But I wonder how much the dawning of the ultimate truth when we stand in Him, before Him, that we might say, oh Lord, I gave you all I knew how. And the Lord said, I know you did. Folks, the Lord knows exactly what to require of you. And He knows what to require of me. Paul said, don't judge each other. And I'm not saying we've got a problem of judging each other, but I'm just saying in our walk with the Lord. I know how the devil is. There's been stages of my life that I had much more of a judgmental attitude than what I have today. And I could look over there and see this person not doing what I thought they should. And maybe they shouldn't have. I don't know. But I'm going to have to leave you with God. That doesn't mean we shouldn't champion righteousness and righteous ways and holiness and walk. I'm not taking that away at all. But I'm saying how we should live before God right here. You know, I won't do you any good if I go home and in my heart I say, oh, that brother, he's just not doing right. I don't know if I can have confidence in him anymore. He's went to this place or that place, you know. You know, I used to have conscience against going to Silver Dollar City. I can't say I went there. It's been a long time since I've been there. I used to sell sorghum to the place. But if you go there, you don't have to hang your head when you come back. Unless the Lord told you not to go there. This is practical. It's a place that God wants to own in every one of our hearts. You see, it's practical. It's where you live. You know, there might be articles of clothing that I wear that you say, no, I can't do that. I'm going to ask you, pray for me. Have mercy on me. And I'll do that with you. But both of us ought to say, with our heart and with each other, brother, sister, let's go up into Zion. Let's follow the Lord with all of our heart. Let's love Him. Let Him shape our hearts and my thinking, the attitudes that are fostered in my mind, and how I treat my fellow man. Oh, that makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? Brother Paul is telling us, well, I'm going to have to stop because time has gotten away. But I'm just going to culminate it by this again, saying, for, and I didn't write it on there, for meat, don't destroy the work of God. I could have in my mind a set of values that somehow is... not a set of values, perhaps a set of rules that in my mind said that this encapsulates, this is righteousness. And for me it may be. But somebody else may come from a totally different background. And they're coming, just like I'm coming. But you know what I want to see in your heart more than anything? I want to see a passion for God. I start getting worried when I see my fellow man who claims to be God, a child of God. I start feeling a little worried when they don't really, their heart doesn't seem to be in it anymore. You know what I'm talking about? It just doesn't mean that much to them anymore. And I'm not saying you have to come here to service and sing the songs like I've had or pump your arm like I do when we're singing songs. You don't have to do that. But I want to see you loving the Lord with all your heart. I want to see that passion. It changes you. And it just stands before our hearts and our minds as a beacon in front of me. I behold the glory of the Lord. Look at Him. Full honesty of heart, and let Him change me into His image. Pray for me, I want to serve Him.